welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of horror, featuring two stories that were worth their weight, as they were repeated on other series later during radio's past. Later on, it's Inner Sanctum from 1952, but first, The Mysterious Traveler, with the story Queen of the Cats, from July 2nd, 1944, on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Broadcasting System presents The Mysterious Traveler, written, produced, and directed by Robert A. Arthur and David Kogan, starring tonight two of radio's foremost personalities, Carl Weber and Inga Adams, in an original radio drama titled Queen of the Cats.
This is the Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as we prepare to meet the Queen of the Cats. Our story begins late one night in a large New England town. Jane Elliott, an attractive girl in her early 20s, hurries down a quiet and darkened residential street. Finally, she stops before a large colonial house with a nameplate on the door, Dr. George Richards. She hesitates a moment, then rushes up the few steps to the door.
Yes?
Dr. Richards, my name is Jane Elliott. I'm sorry to wake you up at such a late hour, but I'm desperate.
That's quite all right, Miss Elliott. Please come in.
Thank you.
Now, what seems to be the trouble, Miss Elliott? You're pale and trembling.
No, I'm not ill, Doctor. It's Chris. Chris Arnold, my fiancé. Doctor, you've got to help him. You've got to, or something terrible will happen. I know it will.
I'll do everything I can, Miss Elliott. Now, please tell me what's wrong.
Well, I don't know what's wrong. All I know is that Chris is frightened. He's in deadly fear of something.
I see. Where is your fiancé now?
At his home, Brookfield Manor. Doctor, I know it's late, but won't you come with me and see Chris? He needs help desperately.
Please, Miss Elliott, you mustn't cry. Of course I'll come with you, and I'll do what I can.
If you'll follow me, Doctor, Chris's room is this way.
All right. Oh, tell me, Miss Elliott, aren't there any servants in this huge house?
No, Doctor. Chris dismissed them all 2 months ago, except for a cook who's here during the day. He lives alone. Here we are, Doctor.
Who is it?
Chris, it's Jane.
Just a minute. Jane, I've asked you before not to... Who's he?
Darling, this is Dr. Richards. Doctor, this is my fiancé, Chris Arnold.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Arnold?
Why the devil did you bring him? I don't need a doctor.
Please, darling, I couldn't stand to see
you. Forgive me, Mr. Arnold, but it's obvious to the most untrained eye you do need a doctor.
Chris, please tell the doctor what you're afraid of.
I'm not afraid of anything.
I'm afraid that's not true. Your eyes are twitching, and you keep glancing around the room nervously.
Mind your own business.
People who are ill are my business. I want to help you, but I can't unless you tell me what you're afraid of.
Darling, please tell him. Please, you can't go on this way.
Yes, you're right. I can't go on this way.
Believe me, Mr. Arnold, you'll feel much better once you've talked your fears out. Now, suppose you start from the beginning and tell me everything.
All right, Doctor. I suppose it all began 2 years ago at a party Jane and I were invited.
Oh, Chris, isn't this a wonderful party?
The only thing wonderful about it is you.
Chris, don't. People are watching.
A fine thing when a man can't kiss his best girl in public.
At Miss Tyndall's school, we were taught a young lady never kisses a man in public.
Miss Tyndall is setting romance back 50 years. Who are you looking for?
Rana Farouk, my roommate at Miss Tyndall's.
Oh, she's the Egyptian girl you were telling me about.
Yes, I want you to meet her. Only, you better not fall in love with her, as every other man does.
Sounds as though she's a second Cleopatra.
Oh, there she is, Chris. Come on.
So that's Rana. No wonder men can't resist her.
Chris, your mouth is open. Rana!
Hello, Jane. I've missed you.
Rana, this is Chris Arnold. Chris, Rana Farouk.
Hello, Chris. I would have recognized you any place from the picture Jane had of you on her dresser at Miss Tyndall's.
Hello, Rana.
Oh, look, there's Miss Tyndall waving at me. Excuse me, won't you?
Of course, Jane.
I'll be back in a minute.
You know, Chris, at Miss Tyndall's, the first thing I would see in the morning when I got up, and the last thing before I went to bed, was your picture. And I always knew that someday we should meet. And now we have. Why are you staring at me like that? Aren't you going to say anything?
I prefer just to look. Even now, Doctor, 2 years after our first meeting, I find it difficult to describe how beautiful Rana was. She had lustrous black hair that came down to her shoulders, and green eyes that bewitched you. When she walked, she was so lithe and graceful that every eye in the room followed her. I was captivated the moment I saw her.
I see. Well, what happened after that first meeting?
Rana also seemed attracted to me. After that night, we saw each other constantly. Nothing seemed to matter to me when I wasn't with her. It made me indescribably happy to learn she felt the same way. So, just a month after we'd met, we were married.
Please go on, Mr. Arnold.
In the months that followed, I began to see Rana not as the image I had been infatuated with, but as she really was. Vain, selfish, and intensely possessive. She couldn't bear to have me out of her sight. And if I was, when I returned, there would be questions, countless questions. I began to dread seeing her. And then there were the cats.
The cats?
Yes, yes, she had an insane passion for them.
When Rana and I were at school together, Doctor, she always had a few cats around. She said she couldn't live without them.
The house was always full of cats. She'd sit for hours stroking them, whispering to them, until I thought I'd go mad. Life became a nightmare for me. A nightmare full of cats. And Rana, asking questions, endless questions, as to where I'd been and whom I'd seen. Finally, one day, I realized I couldn't go on living with her any longer, that our marriage had been a mistake. I decided to tell her so that very evening. May I come in, Rana?
Of course, dear. Good evening, Chris. Darling, why didn't you tell me that you'd had lunch with Mary Walker when I called you at the office this afternoon?
How did you know I had lunch with her?
A friend told me.
Friend? Who was it?
Oh, what is it, Beauty? What are you trying to say?
Rana, put that cat down and answer me. Who was the friend that told you I had lunch with Mary Walker?
You've never met her, darling.
How is it that you always seem to know what I've been doing, who I've been seeing? It's as though you have people spying on me.
Chris, what a thing to say. Now, please hurry and change, or we'll be late for the Hopkins party.
There's something strange about the way you always know what I've been doing. Sometimes I suspect...
Chris, look out! You stepped on Sabina's tail.
I'm sorry, but I didn't see her.
I've asked you before to be more careful. Oh, poor Sabina. Are you all right now, my beauty?
If there weren't so many cats underfoot, I wouldn't have stepped on her. Why must you keep them around?
Because I love cats. They're beautiful, sacred. Thousands of years ago, my ancestors worshipped cats.
When you speak like that, you almost look like a cat.
And why not? Is there anything in the world more beautiful than a cat? You see? They agree.
Rana, I can't go on like this anymore.
My darling, what do you mean?
Our marriage was a mistake. I want a divorce.
Chris, you can't be serious.
Oh, I am, Rana. Dead serious.
I love you, Chris. And I won't give you up. You are mine, darling. and you'll always be. Nothing shall ever separate us.
Would you care for a cocktail, sir?
No, thank you.
Well, even if you won't have one, Mr. Arnold, I will.
Jane, it's good to see you again. Just let me look at you.
It's good to see you too, Chris.
You're as lovely as ever, Jane.
Chris, you're not looking well at all. Are you all right?
I am now. Jane, can't we go someplace and talk? What about the terrace?
All right, Chris.
Here, this door opens onto it.
How is Rana?
Oh, she's fine. Jane, I've made such a mess out of everything. I was a fool to mistake infatuation for love. Jane, can you ever forgive me for the way I behaved toward you?
There's nothing to forgive, Chris. I must be going now.
Well, Jane, but this is a surprise.
Rana.
Really, Jane, the way you've avoided calling on us, I have suspect you're still in love with Chris.
Rana, you have no right...
Please, Chris. I'm afraid I'll have to be leaving. It's getting quite late. Good night.
Good night, Jane.
I hope I didn't interrupt anything by coming out here so unexpectedly, Chris.
Yes, Rana, you did. I was about to tell Jane that I love her and that I always will.
I suppose that's why you asked me for a divorce. You've been secretly seeing her.
Secretly seeing her? Is it possible for me to see anyone or do anything secretly without you knowing about it?
No, you're right. It isn't possible. I know everything you do. So I would forget Jane if I were you.
Rana, how could you possibly want me, knowing how I feel about Jane? You've got to give me a divorce.
I'll never give you a divorce. Never, do you hear? You're mine, and you always will be.
I can still see her, Doctor. She stood there, hissing at me. Chris, you're mine, and you always will be. Suddenly, I realized that she looked like a cat. An angry cat. Her green eyes, cold and murderous. Her long nails digging into my arms. Her body tense. For a moment, I thought she was going to scratch my eyes out. After that night, I hardly spoke to Rana. I treated her as a stranger.
Darling, you're behaving very childishly, refusing to talk to me. It's been a month now.
Why are you slowing down?
I want to talk to you, Chris, and I can't talk to you while I'm driving.
There's no point in your stopping. We have nothing to say to each other.
Oh, but we do, darling. Chris, we could be so happy together if you wanted to. You know how much I love you. I'd do anything to make you happy. Anything.
Anything? Then you can give me a divorce.
So you're still thinking of her? Hoping I'll give you a divorce so you can marry her? Well, I won't. Do you hear? I won't.
I think we'd better be moving along.
Chris, you haven't any right to treat me like this. I'm your wife.
Only in the eyes of the law, not in my eyes.
I hate you. I hate you.
You cat. You almost took out my eyes with those claws of yours.
I'll scratch your eyes out before I let any other woman have you.
This will bring you to your senses. Now, slide over. I'll drive.
Very well, Chris. You think you've beaten me, Chris, but you haven't. Don't think it was weakness on my part because I tried to make up with you this evening.
I know better than to think that.
In the end, you'll come crawling to me. It may take a year. 2 years, 5 years. But I'll wait.
I'll never come crawling to you.
But you will, Chris. Jane knows I'll never give you your freedom. In time, she'll marry. And when she does, all the heart will be gone out of you. And then you'll be mine.
You have everything planned perfectly, Rana, don't you? But I have one escape from you you've never thought of.
Really? And what is that, Chris?
I can escape through death.
Through death?
Yes, Rana. If I should fail to take that curve ahead, we'd plunge off the side of the mountain.
Chris, you wouldn't.
Why not, Rana? You've shown me there's nothing to live for. This at least is a clean way out.
Chris, you don't mean it.
But I do, Rana. Just watch.
No, Chris. Don't. No!
When I drove the car over the side of the mountain, Doctor, I thought Rana and I were going to our deaths. But fate decreed otherwise. When I recovered consciousness 48 hours later, in the hospital, I learned it was only Rana who died.
Yes, I recall reading about it in the papers. It was a miracle that you survived.
Yes, for weeks they despaired of saving me. But at the end of 8 months, I walked out of that hospital. It was just a week after I was discharged that I ran into Jane on the street.
Chris. Oh, Chris, it is you.
Jane.
Chris, I heard about your accident just a few days ago when I got back from California.
Jane, you always seem to pop up just when I need you most.
My dear, you look so much older. These past months must have been so difficult for
me. I don't want to look back at the past, Jane, but only to the future. The future I once hoped we'd share.
And still do. Two months ago, Doctor, Jane and I became engaged. It was just about that time that I first began to notice that everywhere I went, there always seemed to be a cat following me.
So that's why you were always looking around so nervously all the time.
Tell me, Miss Elliot, did you ever notice that the two of you were being followed by a cat?
Well, I have seen a few cats around, but they didn't mean anything to me.
Oh, but they did to me, Doctor.
Was it always the same cat that followed you?
Oh, no, no. One day it'd be one cat and another day a different one. Doctor, I know you must think I'm insane. At the time, I felt I was going mad. That is, until that night.
What night, Mr. Arnold?
The night I saw her. It happened in this very room 6 weeks ago. I had great difficulty in falling asleep. And when I did, I had a nightmare. A nightmare in which I was being followed by hundreds of silent cats. Then the silence was broken by the faint crying of one cat. The crying grew louder and louder. Suddenly, I awoke. But with my awakening, the cry didn't cease. I lay in the darkness listening, realizing that the cat I'd heard wasn't a part of my nightmare, but was real. Yes, real, living. And in my room, I could feel my heart pounding as I sat up in bed. I looked about my darkened room. Then, suddenly, I saw her. Two burning green eyes in the darkness. There was no mistaking those eyes. Rana. It is you, Rana. Isn't it? Yes, I'd recognize those green eyes anywhere. So you've come back. Just as I've always thought of you. As a cat. I know why you've come back. Because of Jane. You always said that if you couldn't have me, no one else would. That I was yours and always would be. Well, you're wrong, do you hear? Jane and I are going to be married. Trying to scratch my eyes out. You always said you would before you'd let any other woman have me. Well, we'll see about that. Take this. There. There. Perhaps that'll hold you. Nothing you can do will stop me from marrying her. I know that the cats that were following me, spying on me, were doing so under your orders. You're the queen of the cats. Yes, I should have known. Even when you were in human form, you looked and acted like a cat. You think you're clever. But even if you are the queen of cats, you can't prevent me from marrying Jane. Ah, so you think you can. Well, perhaps a bullet between those green eyes of yours is what's needed. I emptied the gun at her, Doctor. Then turned on the light. There was no sign of her. She'd vanished. All that I found were 6 bullet holes in the wall.
Now, Mr. Arnold, isn't it possible that you only dreamed all that? That actually you fired your gun in your sleep, and the shots themselves awakened you.
I tried to tell myself that, Doctor. But during the nights that followed, I knew it was not a dream. For night after night, she appeared in my room. I'd lie awake, waiting to hear her voice. And then she would appear and stare at me with those burning green eyes, waiting, waiting. I knew she'd never leave me alone as long as I intended to marry Jane. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. Then I went to see Jane. I asked her to postpone our wedding for a time. And without asking any questions, she agreed. Doctor, the night I put off my marriage with Jane was the first night that Rana didn't appear. And the first night in a week that I was able to sleep.
Chris, why didn't you tell me that night what was troubling you?
I was afraid you wouldn't understand, Jane, that you might think I was mad.
Well, you think, Mr. Arnold, that she didn't appear again because you had postponed your marriage to Jane?
Oh, I know it. Weeks went by. Weeks in which I was able to sleep soundly without being awakened by her. I came to think that perhaps it had all been part of a horrible nightmare, and that I was over it at last. Then, a week ago, I asked Jane to set the date for our wedding. She did so, and that same day we took out a marriage license.
And Dr. Chris looked so much better that I thought he'd gotten over what was troubling him.
So did I. But the night after we'd applied for a license, she appeared again in this very room.
And you've seen her every night ever since?
Yes, yes. She just keeps staring at me with those green eyes. Waiting, waiting. And Doctor, I have a feeling something horrible will happen if I attempt to marry Jane.
Do you still have the marriage license?
Why? Yes. Why do you ask?
Mr. Arnold, you've reached a crisis in your life. You're faced with fears that are threatening to overwhelm your sanity. If you want Jane and happiness, you must be prepared to fight.
Fight? What? How, Doctor?
Often when we challenge our fears, we find that they exist only in our imagination. The only way for you to challenge your fears is to go through with your marriage with Jane. Now, tonight.
Tonight?
Yes, I know it's quite late, but a friend of mine who's a judge, I'm sure he'll marry you.
All right, Doctor. Jane, will you marry me? Tonight?
Oh, yes, Chris. Yes.
Sorry to get you up in the middle of the night, Judge. But for reasons I can't explain, it's important that these two be married tonight.
That's quite all right, Doc. Always glad to oblige a friend. Have you got the license and the ring, young man?
Hmm. Oh, yes, yes, sir. Here's the license. And here's the... What was that?
It's only my cat, Lucifer. Never saw a fellow so nervous. Scat, Lucifer, scat! There, you won't bother us anymore.
Chris, it's all right, darling. He's gone.
What's the matter, son? Don't you like cats?
No, he doesn't. Judge, would you mind getting on with the ceremony?
All right, Doc. I never saw so many nervous people. Now, young man, you take her right hand. That's it. Now, shall I give the long ceremony or the short one?
Oh, the short one, please.
All right. You, Christopher Arnold, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife. To love, honor, and cherish as long as you both shall live.
I do. It's Rana.
Where in blazes that cat come from? It's Scat!
Chris, please, it's only a black cat. You mustn't pay any attention to it.
No, of course not. Now,
it's Rana, I tell you. Look at her eyes.
Why are you so afraid of cats?
I told you she's trying to prevent me from marrying Jane. Well, I'll get rid of her for once and for all.
Chris, what are you doing with that gun? Put it down.
This time I won't miss. No, I missed. She's escaped. But she won't get away. No, wherever she's gone. I'll find her. I'll find her and kill her.
Chris, come back.
Oh.
now, Miss Elliot. He can't be far off.
We'll find him.
There isn't a soul in sight. Doc, you sure he isn't crazy?
Oh, please, Judge.
Well, he sure acted like he was. Pulling out that gun.
Listen.
Doctor, that must be Chris firing that gun.
Yes. Come on. Those shots came from close by.
But, Doc, there's no one in sight.
I think those shots came from that driveway just ahead.
Hurry, please. Hurry.
We've got to take it easy now, Doc. This driveway's in complete darkness.
Yes, you're right.
Can't see a thing. It's so dark. Have you got any matches, Doc?
Yes. Here, wait a minute. I'll strike one.
Afraid it isn't much of a help. Doc, look. Dead cat.
What?
Yes. It was shot to death.
Look. Here's another one that's been shot to death.
Oh, but neither of them is the black cat.
No. Match is out. Wait a minute. I'll light another one. There. Come on.
Doc, isn't that somebody lying over there?
Chris!
No, Miss Elliot. You stay with the judge while I look.
All right, Doctor. This would never have happened if I hadn't agreed to marry. He was afraid. So afraid.
Doc, is it Arnold?
Yes, it's him.
He's dead, isn't he? I can see it in your face.
Yes, Miss Elliot. He's dead.
Doc, I don't understand. What happened to him?
He's been clawed to bits, as if by hundreds of cats. His face has been torn to shreds, and his eyes...
This is the Mysterious Traveler. Did you enjoy our trip? Too bad about Chris Arnold, wasn't it? Seems there just isn't any escape from her jealous woman, particularly when she's the queen of the cats. You know, strangely enough, at Chris Arnold's funeral, just as the coffin was being lowered into the grave, the mourners suddenly noticed a black cat with green eyes sitting on the edge of the grave, quietly licking its paws. That cat, it simply couldn't be driven off. Now, I recall another case in which two ghosts got together and decided... Now, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at the same time.
The Mysterious Traveler, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 2nd of July 1944 on Mutual. The Sealed Book radio show on the same network would repeat that story in June of 1945. You are listening to An Hour of Horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Up next, Inner Sanctum, one of the later broadcasts in the CBS series, with a repeat of the story that they featured in November of 1946 called No Rest for the Dead or Mr. Macabre. This episode heard on October 24th, 1952.
Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host inviting you into the inner sanctum once again. Come in. You're early tonight. The coroner hasn't arrived yet. But it's all right. The corpse is here. Yes, that's him over there in the corner. The slightly decapitated gentleman sitting with his head in his hands.
Mm.
All right, friends. Let's gather round and meet that grim reaper, Mr. Macabre. No. Don't try to run away. Lie perfectly still. If you race with Mr. Macabre, you're liable to end up in a dead heat. From the living room of a small house that has seen better days, a single light shines in the early evening. Inside, Grace Denning waits alone for her father to come home. Anxiously lighting one cigarette from the other, she paces the floor. Until at last, she hears his footsteps on the porch stairs.
Father? Is that you, Father?
Yes, dear. Now, are you worried about me?
Well, you're never this late for dinner. I thought something might have happened to you. You weren't down at the river again, were you, Father?
No.
Well, where were you?
Just downtown. I stopped off for a minute. Grace, why are you staring at me?
You look so strange, so frightened.
Well, I should be frightened. You know what it's like to live without money week after week, waiting, hoping for a break that never comes.
Well, don't worry, darling. Your luck will change.
I'm not worried anymore.
You got the loan?
Yes.
From the bank?
No.
Dr. Tarleton, he wouldn't lend you any money. He wouldn't lift a finger to help you.
Why not? He's an old friend of mine, isn't he?
Well, I wouldn't call him a friend. Not after the way he's treated you all these years. He still hasn't forgiven you for taking Mother away from him.
Don't be a fool.
Well, he hasn't. He's still in love with her. He told me so. At the funeral.
Well, what difference does it make? I've got the money, haven't I?
But how did you get it?
I told you he lent it to me.
Why did he lend you that money?
Because I gave him something in return.
What?
I sold him my brain.
What do you mean, Father?
I willed it to him in return for the loan.
Your brain?
Yes. He said it would be of value to him in his experiments. He said the medical school was making a study of men with artistic talents.
But you haven't painted for years.
Well, Dr. Tarleton didn't really want my brain, Grace. Can't you see? It was just an excuse to torment me.
Well, you're not going through with it. I won't let you.
You'll have to, Grace. I've gotten the money.
Then you'll give it back. I won't let you take it.
Here, what are you doing?
Calling him up to return that money.
Put that phone down.
Father, let go. Drive you out of your mind if you accept this loan. Now, let me speak to him.
Dr. Tarleton's office. Miss Henry speaking.
Hello. Oh, Miss Henry. Is Dr. Tarleton there?
Why, who's calling, please?
This is Miss Denning, George Denning's daughter. Would you ask the doctor to come to the phone, please?
I'm afraid I can't, Miss Denning. Dr. Tarleton is dead.
Miss Henry, I hope you don't mind my coming over here, asking you all these questions, but you see, Dr. Tarleton was an old friend of the family's, and I'm rather anxious to know the circumstances.
I understand, Miss Denning. Dr. Tarleton often spoke of you and your mother.
When did he die, Miss Henry?
This afternoon, about 5:00. We can't be sure of the exact time. Nobody was with him when he died.
Nobody?
As far as we know. I was out of the office on an errand when it happened, and when I got back, he was dead.
But what happened to him? I mean, it was all so sudden. Did he have a heart attack or something?
Well, he was subject to dizzy spells, Miss Denning. He probably had one this afternoon.
Oh, I see.
But I'm not sure that's what caused the accident.
Accident?
Yes, he fell against the instrument cabinet in his office and broke the glass. The edge of it cut an artery in his neck, and he died before anyone could reach him.
How awful. Well, what makes you think it wasn't an accident?
I don't know. I just have a feeling it might have been murder.
Why? Was anybody with Dr. Tarleton when you left this afternoon?
Yes, a man by the name of Macabre.
Who?
Mr. Macabre. I don't know his first name or anything about him, but the police are investigating him right now.
And there wasn't anybody else this afternoon?
Not that I know of.
Are you sure? Didn't Dr. Tarleton have an appointment with a man who was interested in some sort of brain experiment?
What's that?
An elderly gentleman. Tall, with gray hair and a long, thin face.
Why, Miss Denning? That was Mr. Macabre.
Where have you been, Grace?
Oh, just out for a walk.
Now, don't lie to me. Where have you been? Over to Dr. Tarleton's office.
Yes.
Yeah, well, what for? I told you not to meddle in my business. Tarleton's dead, and my bargain with him is automatically canceled.
Is that the agreement you made with him, Father?
My agreement with Dr. Tarleton doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't to me, Father, but it might to the police if they find a copy of that agreement.
What are you driving at?
Don't you think they'll find out Tarleton's death wasn't an accident?
Good heavens, Grace, you don't think I killed him, do you? You don't think I murdered a man for the sake of a few $100s?
What did you do? You were in his office at 5 o'clock this afternoon, weren't you?
Who told you that?
What difference does it make? Miss Henry knows you were there. She told me all about it.
I didn't speak to Miss Henry.
Mr. McCobb did. Oh, for heaven's sakes, Father, don't you think the police will see through a trick like that? They're out looking for you right now.
Well, confound it, Grace. I didn't kill Dr. Tarleton. And I never heard of Mr. McCobb. Now, let's not talk about him.
All right, Father. If you want to bluff it through, I can't stop you. Only I wish to...
Just a minute. I'll get that.
No, let me. It may be the police. Hello?
Hello, Miss Denning?
Yes?
I've got to see you right away. I have something to tell you about the murder of Dr. Tarleton.
What do you mean?
I can't talk to you over the phone, but if you'll come down to 54 Palmer Street right away, I'll tell you all about it.
Come alone,
Miss Denning. And come quickly.
Just a moment. You haven't told me who you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. The name is Mr. McCobb.
Yes, what do you want?
What? I'm Miss Denning. Weren't you expecting me?
I never expect anybody around here, especially at this time of night. What did you ring the bell for?
Well, I was supposed to meet somebody here.
Are you sure you got the right address? This is the University Medical School, the autopsy lab. We're closed up for the night.
That's strange. I was sure he said 54 Palmer Street.
Who was this? One of the students?
No, a friend of mine.
Well, it's a funny place to be meeting a friend of yours, but if he said he'd be here, well, maybe you better come in.
Well,
Come on, I don't mind you waiting on the inside. Sure. Yeah, I'm always glad to have a little company around. A place like this kind of gets under your skin.
What do you mean?
Ain't you never been to a medical school before?
No, I...
Well, there ain't nothing to be afraid of, lady, but it's just like being in a morgue with them dead ones around, especially tonight.
Why tonight?
And didn't you read in the papers what happened? Didn't you see where that doctor got killed under mysterious circumstances?
Dr. Tarleton?
Yeah, that's the one.
You knew Dr. Tarleton?
Well, sure I know him. He used to teach down here. Anatomy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Maybe that's why I was told to come here.
Because of Dr. Tarleton? You know something about his death?
No, but the man I'm supposed to meet here does. Have you ever heard of a Mr. McCobb?
McCobb? Are you waiting for Mr. McCobb?
Yes. Do you know him?
Who sent you here?
He did. He called me up on the phone and told me he wanted to speak to me about Dr. Tarleton's death.
Mr. McCobb said that?
Yes.
You better come with me, lady.
But what's wrong?
I didn't say there was anything wrong. I just want you to come with me. I gotta know if you're telling me the truth.
Where are you taking me?
Don't worry, it ain't far. Right in here, come on.
But stop pulling me, will you? Where are we?
Where do you think? In the lab.
Why did you bring me here?
Didn't you say you had to see Mr. McCobb?
Yes, but...
Well, this is where he is. Right in that canvas bag.
It's a body.
Of course it's a body. And they give them all names. The students, I mean. McCobb. That's what I want to know. Who put you up to this? Who told you to come over here and tell me he was alive?
Nobody.
Don't lie to me. Every one of them students know I'm scared of Mr. McCobb. They've been playing tricks on me ever since I got
here.
Let me
go.
Not until I make sure he's in that bag.
What are you doing?
I'm opening it up.
No.
Look. It's not Mr. McCobb.
What?
It's Dr. Tarleton.
Are you sure it's Dr. Tarleton?
Can't you see it is?
I'm going to call the police.
Now, wait a minute. You're not going to call anybody till you tell me why you came here.
I told you.
You told me a lie. You knew Dr. Tarleton was in this bag. You brought him here.
Don't be a fool.
Well, then who did? Who put you up to this? One of them students?
No.
They must have, or you wouldn't have told me that story about Mr. McCobb. Where is he? What have they done with him?
Nothing. I didn't have anything to do with it.
You mean, you're not playing a trick on me?
Of course not.
And it's true. It was Mr. McCobb.
What?
He's the one who killed Dr. Tarleton. He's the one who put him in that bag.
What are you talking about? You're insane.
Insane, am I? You don't know about Mr. McCobb. You don't know where he came from.
What do you mean?
His body, Miss Denning. They brought it from the state penitentiary. He was a murderer.
Stop it! Stop it!
No, I can't stop it. Don't you understand? We've got to find him and bring him back before it happens again. Right, there's the phone. Hello?
Hello. Is Miss Denning there, please?
Just a minute. It's for you, Miss Denning.
That call?
Yes, here, answer it.
Oh. Hello?
Hello, Miss Denning?
Yes?
Tell your father not to worry about the murder. Dr. Tarleton was killed by a woman. A woman who lives at 9 River Road.
How do you know? Who is this?
Don't you recognize my voice? I'm Mr. McCobb.
That's the house, Father. 9 River Road.
Grace, you're not going in there.
I've got to, Father. I've got to know who this woman is.
Well, then I'm going with you.
No, no. Please. You stay here. It may be some sort of a trap to find out where you are. I'm better off alone.
Well, careful, Grace. Please be careful. If this woman is a murderer...
Don't worry, Father. Just stay in the car, and I'll call you if I need you.
Well, all right, dear. I'll be right here.
Come in, Miss Denning.
Miss Henry.
Yes, Dr. Tarleton's name.
Good heavens. How did you know I was at the door?
I saw your car drive up. Come in, won't you?
Quick,
Miss Denning, come in. I've got to talk to you.
What's the matter?
Shh, I'll tell you in a minute. Just let me close the door. There, that's better. Now I can speak freely.
You act as though you were expecting me, Miss Henry.
I was.
Strange. Nobody knew I was coming.
Oh, but you're wrong. I had a message saying you were.
A message? From whom?
Well, he wouldn't give me his name over the phone, but I had a feeling it was Mr. McCobb. Remember? He's the man I told you about at the office, the one the police are looking for.
He called you on the phone?
About 10 minutes ago.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't want to talk very much, but he said you were coming over to see me about Dr. Tarleton's death. He said you suspected me of committing the murder.
What do you mean?
Do you? Miss Denning?
Why, no. I have no reason to suspect you. What made you think I did?
Just the fact that he said so. And the way you're looking at me right now. How did you find out about the letter opener, Miss Denning?
What letter opener?
The one that's missing from Dr. Tarleton's desk. Who told you about it?
Why, nobody. I didn't know it was missing until you just mentioned it.
Then why did you come here?
Because Mr. McCobb...
Don't blame it on him. He never saw that letter opener.
Well, neither did I. I don't even understand what connection it has.
Don't
what...
you, Miss Denning? Why would a letter opener be taken from Dr. Tarleton's desk unless it had been used to commit the murder?
You mean Dr. Tarleton was stabbed to death?
He might have been. The murderer could have stabbed him first and broken the instrument cabinet later to make it look like an accident. Only that isn't the way it happened.
How do you know?
I know because that letter opener isn't really missing. It's just been mislaid somewhere. And if I had a chance to search the office, I'd probably find it.
Why don't you search the office now, Miss Henry?
I will, if you'll come with me.
All right. I'll come with you.
Good. I felt rather peculiar about going down there alone, but if you're with me...
Miss Denning,
what's the matter? Behind you, look. At the back window.
What? I didn't still see anything.
It was there, I tell you. It was there a moment ago.
What?
A face peering in through the window. It's macabre. That's funny. There doesn't seem to be anyone out back here.
It must have been your imagination.
No, I saw it. I tell you, there was something.
Wait.
What is it? Thought I heard something move behind the garage.
Quick, let's go in there. We can look through the back window without being seen.
Careful now. We mustn't make a sound.
Here.
Hold on to my arm. I can't see a thing, Miss Henry.
Who's there?
Don't be afraid, Miss Denny. It's me.
Who are you?
Mr. Crane, don't you remember? The night watchman from the medical school.
What are you doing here?
I'm looking for Mr. McCobb. He's around here somewhere. I just saw him.
Where?
Out in the field, behind the garage.
I don't see anyone out here.
You're not looking in the right place. Come with me. I'll show him to you.
No, don't. Don't go with him, Miss Henry.
Why not? It may take two of us to bring him back. He might not want to come with me.
Please. Will you leave us alone, Mr. Crane? Go back to your job and let the police find Mr. McCobb.
No, wait. He might know where Mr. McCobb really is.
Of course I know. I just told you he was down there in the field.
Then you go find him, Mr. Crane, and wait for me. I'll be there in a minute.
All right. But don't leave me out there alone with him too long.
For heaven's sake, Miss Henry, don't you know that man's crazy?
Crazy or not, I've got to know what he's up to. Here, take the key to Dr. Tarleton's office and go down there right away.
Aren't you coming with me?
Not until I find out about Mr. McCobb. Don't worry, Miss Denning. I'll meet you at the doctor's office in a few minutes.
Are you sure you'll be all right?
Of course. Go ahead.
All right. I'll see you later.
Mr. McCobb! Mr. McCobb!
Oh, Mr. Crane! Where are you? Why don't you answer me? Here. Who's on that path?
Who? No, don't! Don't! The letter opener. The same letter opener.
Father? Aren't you in the car, Father? Where are you?
It's all right, Grace. I'm here.
Oh, where?
Right here in the doorway. Why did you think I'd left you?
I didn't know where you were. Why didn't you wait for me in the car?
Oh, I don't know. I just got tired sitting there. Besides, I thought I heard some voices back in the house. Is anything wrong?
No. At least I don't think so. I'll know better after we get to Dr. Tarleton's office.
What are you going down there for?
A letter opener, Father. I've got to find out if it's really missing.
Oh, Grace, will you stop butting into other people's business?
But this is our business. Don't you understand? Are you coming with me? Or shall I go alone?
No, dear. I'll go with you.
Wait right here, Father. Just outside the door. Let me know if anybody comes down the hall. Even Miss Henry.
All right, but hurry.
I'll be as quick as I can. Oh, I should have turned on the light before I closed that door. Now, where on earth is that light switch? Oh. What's the matter with this thing?
No. No, it doesn't, Grace.
Who said that?
I did. Don't you recognize my voice?
No. Where are you?
Over here, sitting at my desk.
Dr. Tarleton.
Yes.
You're alive.
No, my dear. I'm just living on borrowed time for a while. Just long enough to tell the police who murdered me.
It's a trick. You're not really dead.
No. You shouldn't have come back here to return that letter opener. That was the trap we set for you. Only we never dreamed you'd kill Miss Henry.
The fool! Who are you?
Dr. Tarleton, dear. The man who was foolish enough to leave you half his estate because of your mother. You're a murderess, Miss Denning.
Be quiet! Be quiet or I'll kill you!
You can't kill me, Grace. You've done it already.
I'll do it again. I'll do it right this time, the way I killed Miss Henry.
Here, put that letter opener down.
No! Let me go!
Grab her, Gus. I've got her hands.
No, don't touch me.
It's all right, Miss Denning. We won't frighten you anymore. We've got all the evidence we need now.
You're a detective.
You guessed it.
The dead man. The one you had propped up in the chair. Who is that?
Don't you know? That was Mr. McCobb.
was a corny stunt for Macabre to play. If I were a corpse, I wouldn't go around frightening confessions out of murderous young ladies. I'd rather be seen dead. And speaking of death scenes, have you ever heard the one about the ambitious ghoul who left no stone unturned? Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at this same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum, Untuned to Yesterday, from the 24th of August, 1952, a CBS and Armed Forces Radio Service broadcast. And that does it for this hour of horror. Untuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.